Now, these are the people that will keep me propped up. So, somebody was telling him, this is your time. This is your time. This is what you need to do. Now, these kind of people, they are plenty. They think they are doing you good. All right? They are trying to help you consolidate your position. That not everybody is listening to you on radio. Even me, I heard some of those things. This is the time to do this. This is the time to quickly, that is, look, this thing will not always be like this. Oh, it will not always be like this. Oh, that's what they're trying to say. So you now take advantage of how it is right now so that when it passes away, they will receive you into their habitations, like that fellow said in the Bible. And let me say this one to you straight. That is the danger of prosperity. That is the danger of prosperity. One of the things I see a lot, you know, it's very common in Christianity, and you must understand, these are temptations. Don't look at those people and say they are bad. They are the temptations of life. A preacher is very famous, he's known, he's doing a lot of work usually on the media. Then people will press him to start one church here, have a branch here. What is he doing? Taking advantage of the media exposure. Is it wrong to start churches? No. I've been to many churches started by good people, and I was blessed going there. But if that is not your assignment, please don't let the fact that it is easy for you to do push you into it. I said something in Onitsha when I was there. I noticed that the place was quiet. In fact, you know, there are times I wax prophetic. I don't know what I, you know what I'm saying. That, you know, normally I teach. I just be talking. This one, as I was saying it, I knew. In fact, I'm sure at least, let me not give proportion, but a huge chunk, because you know, there's the, how you know, by the quiet, you know, your professor, people are happy. Then suddenly they go quiet. Like, okay, what did you say? I said, let me say it again. I made a simple statement. I said, when your uncle becomes governor, or senator, or commissioner, or your father, I said, any business you were not doing before, if you start it, you will go to prison. Man, every man looked at me like, sir, are you sure of what they are saying? I said, you didn't hear me, let me say it again. You were not a contractor. You were a teacher. Now you've opened a contracting company because your cousin suddenly has become a commissioner. I said, go and get ready, you are going to jail. I said, no, I felt the prophetic unction come upon me. I said, hear it. I know many of you listening won't obey what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. I was told to come and warn you ahead of time. I said, you will go to prison. You won't die in prison. You will lose weight, for sure. I said, then you will return. I said, then you will learn. He said, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey your word. I said, you will come back and you will start obeying God. And when you start obeying, the all the years that the locust ate, the palm worm, I said, God will restore to you. I said, don't worry, I know you are going to disobey. Go ahead. No, I knew a lot of people would disobey that because it is difficult for an average Nigerian today to be what I'm saying. And I said it then, I'm saying to you again. Listen, any business you want to do, start it now. Once your brother becomes a political office holder, if you go and start a business you were not doing before, counting on his patronage, you are going to prison. You, child of God, all the Muslims will go, they will go scot-free. All the unbelievers will go home. You are going to jail. Yeah. It's the affliction that's going to remove Ishmael from your life, we're describing, and bring Isaac. But you will listen to instruction. Eh? Don't worry. The time that people are quickly building houses, doing all of this, you won't do that. But you will be built up steadily. By the time you get to a high level, you will find that you have a solid foundation up to the level where you are. Many people jumped up, they did not grow up. And Lalatorukus. Ilenimbus, thank you. Anything that goes up must come down. But anything that grows up stays up. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
if, I mean, your height will not come down because you grew up. Now, looking at one picture of Bishop's wedding, my wife and I held each other down and took a photo. I said, man, see height. See how this woman tall past me. In my mind. But after the wedding, she came down to a normal level. Some of you caught what I'm saying there. Because you know when women dress up finish, you don't know which one will be correct height. So if you are meeting a woman for the first time, just shake her hand and look down. So who is taller? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make there. Listen, that is a problem. People, a lot of times, God blesses them. They now take advantage of that blessing to try and consolidate their future. It's a mistake. That's what I'm trying to preach today. It is a mistake. It is a mistake. It is a mistake. It's a mistake. A grievous mistake. It's called turning your stones to bread. You will never be blessed turning your stones to bread. Never. That bread won't fill you. It won't help you. You take advantage of every little opportunity that God gives you. Someone said, in fact, I don't know whether it would be right for me to say it, but when I was serving in the north, I knew that there was this psychology around there. That any position God gives you, you must use it. And which is true, you should use it. For what? It's what the issue is now. And that is why a lot of people steal. That is, our politicians. The man enters into office for a few weeks. In those few weeks, he buys all the land that's available for sale, including the one that's not available for sale. He buys it. He buys houses. He buys cars. Why? He's sure that, look, I will last here for, you know the way they are very, 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 you know, the turnover is high. You join the new PDP, they sack you. You know that kind of thing. The president will just say, who are those who joined the new PDP? You see, they will say, who are the ministers they sponsored? They say, okay, yeah, all of them. Out of the old cabinet. You know that kind of thing. They throw them out. So people, a lot of people are afraid of that. So what they do is they start laying up treasure, laying up treasure, laying up treasure, laying up treasure. Laying up treasure. Because they think that the God that brought them to that level is dead. That is the reason. And I'm teaching to Christians today. You will get to places in life, but God said, listen to me, never use the advantages of that place to consolidate your future. Never. Go there, do the duty for that season and work out. Take, I'm telling you, there are things we have to learn how to take pride. You know, there are testimonies we give in church. And I think, bye-bye to childhood testimonies. What are the childhood testimonies? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, though. You know, they came to our office. They said, who will take the bribe? I refuse to take it. And praise the Lord. Today, I have 10 times that volume of promotion. Amen. We clap. All right? That's good. Is it bad? If it happens, so you should rejoice. In fact, not you should rejoice. You will not have no choice. You will rejoice. Are you getting my point? The joy will come out of you naturally. But there's a superior temptation to that. What do you call it? Testimony. There's superior testimony. The superior testimony is that I refused to do that which was wrong, and I got nothing. In fact, I got fired. Brethren, I come to you today to let you know this is my first day off work. I am rejoicing in the spirit that I am right now suffering for righteousness' sake. Rejoice with me. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We are always counting it joy when we get something out of it. I'm saying to Christians again, the greater joy is when you got nothing out of it. That is, all I have done, all right, is I've obeyed God, I've done righteousness. He doesn't have to pay me back. Even though he always does the way he likes. But I can't make divine. That's why I tell Christians, when you are going to pray, never ever, never get there and say, God, oh, you know yesterday, they were taking that bribe, I refused to take. Don't let me go hungry today. Listen, whether you will go hungry or not is not predicated on whether you took bribe or you did not take. Eli, who has made that clear to all of us, he said to Job, if you do righteousness, it's for your sake. If you do unrighteousness, now your neighbor will suffer. Don't come and use your brag before God. This is our principle. We have learned it from the scriptures. If you are hungry, ask. What is the basis of asking? Jesus died for me. I believe in him. It's my entrance to the throne, period. Did I do anything good before? It doesn't matter. Did I do bad? It does not matter. If it is good, it was my duty. If it was bad, I've been forgiven. I have confessed it. How do I come? I come because Jesus said I can come. Period. Period. You know, I have to keep saying this because every time you say it with one thing, people go out, they hear the opposite. Let me say this one again. God never gives to you primarily because you give. You are not allowed to come into his presence to argue the good works you did when you want to make a request. You make your request based upon the sacrifice of Jesus and that alone. If you don't want to give, if I say this, you shock some people. Don't bother. Still go and pray. If you can muster the faith, God will still answer you. Listen, this one, I know people use it to call me names. This statement I have made. People are going to say that Banky is misleading people. Listen, I'm delivering you from confusion. Separate your life well. Separate your sonship life from your servant life. When you are receiving from God is son's life. When you are working for God is servant's life. In fact, you shouldn't cause offense because it's true. The truth is this. If you are giving because you need to receive, that gift was never received from by God. So you may as well not bother. Why I just use the word, if you can muster the faith, you know, if I said the word, if, is that nobody, all right, that is a only for me living person has faith. They are all unbelieving people. They don't believe. Because it's not possible to believe and not be generous. It's not possible to believe and not be generous. If you lack something and you want to go and give, I've caused enough confusion in the hearts of some people. Let me stop. I was about to say something even more dangerous. Let me just leave that one. Let me say it. I've colored it in the smooth. I've made it smoother now. All right? The smoothness of it just came to my soul. So let me now tell you in a smooth way. If you are lacking something and you wanted to give, let me give an example now. Let us assume, say, hey, this man has been a blessing to me. Let me give him an offering. You know, that kind of thing. All right? And it happens to be the time you are looking for a job. You need some more money. All right? If your heart is trying to link the two, suspend giving first. That's what I was going to say. If your heart is going to link the two, suspend giving. It is crucial to your future faith that you don't tie the two together. If you want to make your request, just bow down and ask God flat. He answers you on the basis of your faith. If you want to serve him and don't tie anything to it. Are you getting my point? It is crucial you don't tie, because you take glory away from God when you do that. You give glory to those your so-called principles. The glory must be totally that of God's mercy. Have mercy on me, the sinner. That's all. That's the point I'm telling. Some people misunderstand me something that I think people shouldn't give. I said, no, Christians should give. Christians are givers. Christians are givers, but they don't give to get. They don't tie their giving to what they lack. They give because somebody else lacks, not because they lack. The idea of giving because you lack is not Christianity. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you something that you have to get clear. Again, I know, please try and balance what I'm saying. Be cool in your mind when I say so you don't fall over to any side. Are you getting my point? Are you balanced? Are you ready? Were it not that somebody else lacked more than you, God does not expect you to give out of your lack. I know I'm being crucified in many places by that statement, but I pray you understand it. I don't know what I heard I said. Listen, if you are in lack, somebody say give so that you will prosper. I'm telling you, if that's, don't believe it, it's not true. You say, I said I shouldn't give, I didn't say so. I did not say so. I am saying if you are in lack, the major reason you give is because somebody has more lack than you. And if you're a man of faith, you will always respond. You see what are you talking about? It's there. The story of the Macedonians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They were very poor. They were not sowing any seed. They heard of the suffering of the church in Jerusalem. So in the midst of their poverty, they dug into the little they had. God was pushing small to them. They kept on taking it so that somebody else would be blessed. No, they were not trying to give out of their poverty. You get my point? Another to give their way out of poverty. They were so focused on the lack in the life of somebody else that they had no choice but to respond. Listen to me. Away with manipulating God. What did I say? He would say, look, I'm very broke. This little one remaining is my seed. Let me quickly go and plant it. If you are very broke, the little one remaining, whack it. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. Don't worry. I know I'm the only one that preaches. Well, not I'm not the only one. You know, let's start something like Elijah now. And Elijah say, I know all of that. No. All right? Well, why am I stuck on this matter? Why am I stuck there? I need to just explain things to people. Why do we give as Christians? It is simple. Not because we are trying to provoke God. We give because we believe God. Are you getting my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. I am not afraid of tomorrow. I am not. I believe totally that everything God gives me now has a purpose and does not include laying it up for the security of tomorrow. Having established that in my heart, number two, I am an instrument of God's blessing everywhere I go. I hope you are connected to what I'm saying. Now, having established those two things, I just live my life normally. If I find somebody who is in need that I can meet. Oh, I want to make another statement. No, let me not make it. It will be too many for one day. Jesus finished one day. Even Peter was tempted to go somewhere else. Let me leave it here. I think I'm just reacting to some things I hear all the time. I've looked for the nice way to say this. There's no nice way, so I'm not going to say it at all. I have said enough bad things for one day. All right? But I pray people will digest this. If you digest it, you will be the greatest giver that earth has ever seen. Christians give, they don't think about it. What I'm emphasizing all of these things is that Christians don't give thinking of what they want to get. They are so occupied with the effect they are going to have somewhere else. That's what I'm trying to say in all of these things. They are occupied with that. If you are going to the Macedonians, say, come and give to the Philippians, they would not have given. You know why? The Philippians had much more than them. No, read the story. But when Paul came to the Macedonians, all right, and they were talking about famine in Jerusalem, those guys had to respond. The little they had in their homes, they brought it out and they gave. I'm going to emphasize, stop being occupied with your own lack and your own need. That's the reason why you have not gotten anything. That's what I'm trying to say. We are too occupied. We are too occupied with ourselves. So that even when we are giving, we are thinking of ourselves. I'm saying all of this to tell people, forget yourselves entirely. Why Christians... That is, listen, you do your duty. You know, I told you, you must do your duty. There are times God said, like, let me give you the preaching of the gospel. There's nothing like, I don't have money. Are you getting my point? It is acceptable according to what a man has. That's it. It's not because I want to get or I think I'm too poor. No, it is simple. If all I have is 2 naira and they say, we are going to preach the gospel, I shouldn't say, I don't have, everybody should give. I give little out of what I have. Because of the sense of duty, the sense of responsibility. We never say somebody else will do it. That's called irresponsible. The definition of the word irresponsible is somebody else will do it. To be responsible means I take responsibility. I told you once I went to a church, said I went to raise 100 million. You know how much I gave? Man, my giving was generous. I gave them 500 naira. Why? That was what I had. Are you getting my point? I didn't say that. They say it's 100 million. Let those who have give it. No. It's 100 million. It's far away from my 500, but my 500 went in. That is being responsible. If at that time comes up again today, and I believe in that vision, I will not give 500 naira. I will not. The main hindrance for giving for somebody like me is whether I believe you or I don't believe you. If you come all of a sudden and say that you decide you are going to build a gold-plated cathedral, I won't give you 5 kobo. I'll bring that to you like this. In my mind, something's wrong with your head. Why do you want to plate your cathedral with gold? Are you getting my point? Now, is it bad? I don't know. I just don't like the idea. It's a personal thing. Are you getting my point? I think you are wasting money. I think you are being vainglorious. It's personal, though. Do you understand my point? Chooks does not think so. Israel thinks differently. So you go and collect the money from those who agree with you, and all of us will go to heaven. Do you understand my logic? I just believe that some things you are carrying it too far. That's my personal belief. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying it is the word of God. It's just the way the word of God has produced in my own life. In your own life, it may be that God always show you vision. The only thing you see when you are seeing church, now gold plating. So God will give you the money to plate it. Is that okay? That's what I'm trying to explain. So nobody is trying to say that all of us must follow in a particular direction. All right? Now you are getting what I'm saying. So it is, you know, that's why anytime I go and say, you see, all this, give 25 naira so that God can give you 250. Oh, God in heaven, I'm angry. I'm angry. That's why I talked about it. I said, if you don't want to give, don't give. Who's begging you? I've seen Christians handle things because they understand it's not about them. I'm not giving to God so that he can give me. I'm giving to him, in quote, the way we say we give to him, even though I don't know how we give to him. You understand my point? But let us assume we can. We are giving to him because he first gave to us and gave us the opportunity to be a blessing to other people. Very important we understand that. It's very important. How did I even go and get into that? Let me get back to the main thing I was trying to explain. I was saying, therefore, I will just go back. I hope I meet the thing properly. But last thing I remember I was trying to explain is that, listen, this is how Isaac is. Having begun in the spirit, you don't perfect it in the flesh. God does not give you an opportunity now. You now use it to secure your future. It is not allowed in Christianity. The same faith that brought you to that level, it keeps carrying you all the days of your life. The same faith. The same faith. And listen, that is the challenge. What Satan tries to do is to let you say, you know what? Now it's time to start securing everything. Now we don't have to pray anymore. Are you getting my point? All we now need to do is just strategize. What do you mean by strategize? They will start buying unbelieving books that teach us how to lay up treasure for tomorrow. Retirement planning is wickedness against the word of God. The way it is taught that I have seen. So, Pastor, I said we shouldn't plan retirement. I didn't say we shouldn't plan. I said, you have seen the giants run. I refuse to run. Listen, you have to be careful the kind of things you are bringing into your life. You are confessing lack of productivity. So a time will come, you are going to be sick. Save up money for those days. Be it unto you. The time is going to come, your children are going to be plenty, they are going to be in school at the time, and that time you will not be able to work again. You will be depending on your passive income. And you are believing it. Yes. 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 Hey! They will be there believing it. There are seminars I don't go for. Never preach to me the day I will depend on my passive income. Pa Odutola, at the age of 90, he was doing new investments. Does Dangote look to you like a man who's planning to wait one day for passive income? Yet you will sit down there and somebody is telling you to strategize your life for passive income. Prophesying passivity on your life. No, that's what they are doing. Prophesy to you that one day your life shall be passive. And you say, amen. And you know how you say the amen? They say, put 10,000 naira aside towards passivity. And you put it aside. He's claiming it by faith. Don't you sow seed? You know, it's not seed sowing. Sow seed towards infirmity in retirement. Listen to me. It is to you according to what? Your faith. You can make up your mind now that all my life I will never be passive. You can do that. I'm a preacher. That's my primary assignment. Listen. The one I like is, look, God, if Jesus doesn't come back, the day I'm finally going, people must be waiting for me. That is like, our special guest for today is Pastor Banky. He should be here any minute from now. When they go there, Pastor Banky, are you ready? Pastor Banky, are you ready? They open the door, sir. We're ready to go, sir. They just see me sitting down somewhere with a smile on my face. It's like when they tap and the hand drops, they know the man is gone. That will be my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I will never be passive one day before that. I go don't dress in the show for journey. You know the way you are shining like this. That's why I go put flower for chest too. Why? Because I was planning to go and preach. In the name of Jesus Christ, nobody will be taking turns to come and visit me in hospital bed while I'm using my passive income to pay for the doctor. In Jesus' name, I'll be fruitful in old age.
Amen.
Listen to me. When my great-grandchildren are getting married, I didn't say grandchildren, great. These are I'll call that one that they named after me. Hey, Banky Junior, come. So you're getting married to that fine girl today. That is nice. I just like this. Ah, Fred. I said, yes, sir. Yeah, that new, assume it's kind of today now. I said, that latest Sienna they brought, where is it? What are we using it for? Give it to him. That's your wedding present. All right? By the way, you and your wife, you're going to take a cruise from here to here to here. Fred, make sure he has enough money for that. Don't tell his father. His father is my grandson or my granddaughter. Are you getting my point? I say, and when you guys come back, if you want to relocate to this area, there's a new, there's a bungalow down there. Fred, anybody using it? Say no, sir. Okay. I turn the deeds over to them. I mean, let's make these young people feel happy. That's what you can say. Thank you for my great grandpa. Great grandpa, you know what I'm saying? And relying on any passive income. Let me tell you the truth. At that time, you'll be visiting me too and giving me money.
Amen.
Because I bless you with the word of God.
Amen.
There are days you won't even know what to do with money. Just tell your great grandchildren. Say, let's go and greet that old man. So they will look at you, Papa, are you not old man too? Say, I leave it. Your life will never be passive.
Amen.
It is to you according to your faith. What is you see down there, somebody is helping you to take Isaac out of your life. Ishmaelize everything for you. I have online retirement plan telling you that you will be sick. You can't. Hey God, I reject it on your behalf in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I reject it on your behalf. It will not happen to you. It won't happen to me.
Amen.
Let me tell you the truth. At the age of 80, one, if it is health, you will have it.
Amen.
That one is guaranteed. You will go up the stairs and tell the young man in front of you, move. I'm in a hurry.
Amen.
And you are 80 years old.
Amen.
It will happen to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But more importantly, at that age, whatever be the ministry that God put into your hand, you still be actively involved.
Amen.
If it's investment, you are still taking over companies from unbelievers. Look at an unbeliever, he's just misbehaving. You buy him out. How much is it? $75 billion. Go away from there. Let's do business. And as soon as you are finished, your grandchildren, you will be their personal business school.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
When they want wisdom, they go and see grandpa.
Amen.
They start a business. They're thinking, what's going to happen? Somebody said, let's go to see a banker. See banker, you want grandpa to catch me? Come, let's go and see grandpa. You go, grandma, good afternoon, grandma. What is it? You know, look, as a woman, grandmother, you explain, no, you turn to your husband. Fred, was that not what happened like this 40 years ago when these guys, yes, the same thing's playing itself again, isn't it? Yeah, let's tell these young children, they shouldn't behave like that. Grandmother, say, all right. The bankers, no, that interest rate, it looks low now, but they're just trying to entrap you. Fred, please, right? Let's give them. Okay. How much is it? $250 million. Have it. No interest. When you finish, you come back.
Amen.
And so, grandchildren with a queue for your house with all their friends. Because they know, say, wisdom must drop, pepper must drop, something must drop. And none of this income is possible. When I say it's not possible, I mean that it's a fruit of obedience to the will of God. Have you noticed that people like that and go tell them that they're not saving up for passive income? All these poor people that are saving for passive income. Poor. Are you a poor person?
No.
Are you poor?
No.
So I hereby reject all those things on your behalf in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, they talk about this passive income. You know, it's only poor people, rich people, they don't know which one's passive, which one is active. All of them are investment. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Look, when you do this passive, now so Bernard Madoff will obey the word of God. You know Bernard Madoff? The man that stole how much from the world? $60-something billion. You know it was I hope you know he was a servant of God. God has different kinds of servants. The Lord has made everything for a purpose, even the thief. In the day of proving the words of Jesus Christ correct, that must destroy and thieves do break in and steal. I saw them on TV that day. They said that the man should go to prison all the days of his life. He's making me go back to work. And the man should go to prison for being a man of God. What's your problem? He had just proved the word of God to you that all flesh is grass. That moths do destroy and thieves do break in and steal. You wanted to be crossing your leg and be sipping pina colata. And obeying Satan and disobeying God. Then God now sent a thief to your midst. Have you considered my servants irresponsible? Go and collect all their money. Listen, you looking at me, Bernard Madoff will never be able to make you poor.
Amen.
Because you are not waiting for his passive income. You will buy him out of business self. You will employ people like him so that they won't have time to steal. They'll be too busy working. Be it to you according to your faith.
Amen.
Please stop reading books that prophesy that you'll be poor at the age of 65 and you'll be sick. And they are helping you to prepare for the days of your poverty and the days of your sickness. That is not your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is what happens when God blesses people with Isaac. They now want to consolidate with Ishmael. They begin in the spirit. They want to finish in the flesh. The same power that took you out of poverty into prosperity, I'm saying to you, that power can only be amplified in your life.
Amen.
If you believe it, it will continue to amplify itself further in your life.
Amen.
You will never have to depend on Ishmael for anything.
Amen.
But by constantly holding on to the word of God, you know, there was something I talked about in the church. I don't know if I can get the CD. I didn't get that day. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Maybe I should talk about it next time. Because it's the power of God. I realize that what happens in this world today is that we are ashamed of the gospel. And that's the foundation of all our problems. We are ashamed. No, I preached that thing. We'll talk about it next time. I want to close now. I preached that thing on the church the other day. When I got to Nuka, that was when unction came upon me to explain it. I said, God, I never even saw it like this. Then finally something happened yesterday. We showed me. I said, God wanted to prove to me. This is what it means to be ashamed. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed. You know what it means to be ashamed? For Paul to say, I'm not ashamed, it means normally he should be ashamed. That everybody would have laughed at him. But the man understood that this is the power of God. You know, yesterday there was a serious accident in our hospital. A bus of final year students had an accident. Terrible. I was going home when they told me what happened, one of my students. So I now said, he said, there are two of the students are in ICU. And one was dead. The other ones had broken legs, broken ribs, broken this. Aye. Tears almost came from my eyes. So I said, okay, where are the people? I said, I just saw the girl. Come, let's go to ICU. When I got there, in fact, you know, sometimes it's good to be worldly speaking now. The C-Mark was there, you know. The head neurosurgeon was there. The head chest surgeon was there. They were all there. These two boys mustn't die. The thing grieved me like this, eh? I just wanted to see my, excuse me, ma'am. I'm a doctor there, I'm a consultant. Then if I want to, you know, I said, please, sir, we don't want anybody. I said, I'm Dr. Lishon, I'm the head of Moving and Nothing. Okay, you can go in, sir. So I walked and I just said, see ma'am, please, eh? I came here to pray.
I'm serious.
Ah, she said, thank you. I said, so, I know she's a Christian. I said, you will hold my hands. So we join her like this. As the surgeons were digging and doing like this and go, they were doing like that, we just moved the sheet away from the boy's leg and held his leg. Bowed our head. Where? Get my point. Professors, top neurosurgeon, all of them were gathered. I said, wait, I know this one you are doing can fail. I said, Mother, bear, hold my hand. So I said, hold that leg. I held the other leg. In the name of Jesus, we pass the power of God into you. In my mind, I know people will look and say, what is that one doing? That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I don't know whether I get my point. It was when I came out, I understood. I said, okay, the Lord wanted me to understand. Some people say, eh, what do you want your colleagues to think? Think anything you want to. But these are final year students.
Yeah.
I got the text. That young woman that took me there, that told me, gave me the news. I just sent a message to them. Say, Alpha, I said, both of them are fine. Sir. That one that was unconscious, he's conscious now, he's talking. I said, well. Listen, don't let anybody come and key up your life, tell you will be sick at the age of 55. They will start using retirement money. Don't be ashamed to open your mouth and say, no. Don't be ashamed to open your mouth and say, no. I not agree. I told you the first time I went to American Embassy, the woman looked at my account. Hey, nothing inside. I said, You asked me that was a salary account. I earned the money and I spent it. He said, what about the future of your children? Future of my children, you'll be able to print it out? How can you print out the future of my children? Are you stupid or something? You carry crack from Nigeria? How can I print out future of children for you? I looked at the woman, I just said simply, let's not go near that one. Just leave it. I told her straight, just forget that one. Are you giving me visa or not? Forget that one. I'm going for something. Yes, that's okay. It's okay. Come and collect the visa. I said, good, that's better. Don't worry about my children. You can't understand. You can't understand. You can't understand anything about it. Just leave that side. Mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. That is the promise I declare upon these children every day. I'm sure my children know how to bless children. They have been blessed so much, they know it. They will tell you, if you can't ask Akinlu to bless you, he will go, all he needs to do is repeat what his mother has told him and what I have told him. And that word it doesn't have power. I'm sorry to say it. It is power. To say it has power, be like say they borrow and when it won't come out. No. The word is power. If he promises something, it makes sure it comes to pass. The word by itself makes sure it comes to pass. Any arrangement of Ishmael is to reduce the potency of that word. Let us go home. I have kept you here long for today. Just say, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. Thank you for Isaac.